Welcome to It's Just a Conversation, a sales conversation. What to say and how to say it for sales success. I'm Debbie Silverman, and I'm here with my fabulous co-author, Trish Carr. Together, we are your conversation catalysts. In this program, you'll gain greater confidence and stronger sales skills so that your products and your services can make the big impact you want them to make in the world and in your bank account. You know that what you have makes a huge difference in people's lives. So of course you want to get to the most people to make the biggest impact on them. And in return, you're paid what the product or service, and what you're worth. You're getting what you're worth, and it's so important. No matter how long you've been in sales, whether as an entrepreneur working in your own business, or as we call it, intrapreneur working in someone else's, by doing the work in this workshop and applying what you learn in your professional life, you will experience a greater measure of sales success. And sales is the number one way you grow your business and the number one way you increase your impact in the world. And while we know that you're not all about sales, the reality is a key way to measure the difference you're making in the world is with your products and services and how many you sell and how well you do. And you can only continue making an impact. You can only make the difference you want to make by getting your products and services out to more people. So congratulations for taking it on, for saying yes, and saying, I want to be the best I can be. So what you're going to expect from this workshop, in the first module, we talked about ditch the pitch, how to create sizzling sales presentations that sell. We talked about the three-step process that we fondly refer to as PSA. PSA stands for Problem, Solution, Action. Knowing your customer's problem and being the solution puts you in a powerful position to take action and close more sales. In this module, we will discuss the follow-up conversation. It's time to stop leaving money on the table with ineffective follow-up systems that just don't work. Trish and I will give you tried and true systems and processes that ensure that your follow-up not only happens, you deepen your connection with your clients, and you make the sale. In Module 3, we're going to look at nobody gets in to see the wizard, not nobody. And Trish loves this one because she loves The Wizard of Oz, so she loves that title. Ruby Slipper Strategies to Get Past the Gatekeeper. And in the fourth module, we'll talk about because you're worth it. Asking for what you're worth, and you know what? Getting it. In the first part of our sessions, Trish and I will be sharing processes and strategies. In today's session, we will share practical and easy systems and processes that ensure that your follow-up not only happens, and you make the connection, and you make the sale, and guess what? You create a relationship. After sharing the processes and strategies, we'll open up the lines and be interactive with practice and questions. There's gold in here, and that's where you need to take advantage of this. This is where we work with your specific situations. In each session, we'll give you recommended exercises to incorporate what we focused on in the workshop, and we invite you to email those to us for accountability and feedback. And when we give you the exercise, I'll give you the email address. We know that you had a choice to be part of this program. And the fact that you're here says a lot about you. It says you're someone who wants to be the best they can be. If it's okay, I'd like to offer you a few suggestions on how you can make the most of this workshop. Be present. Stay away from your computer, your tablet, your phone, whatever the outside influences are, except to take notes. And take many notes. Jot down any ideas that come to you in a separate place. Jot down any questions that come up, and we'll answer them here, or you can email us directly. Keep an open mind. Fundamentals are fundamental. They don't change. Some of this will be a refresher for you, and some of the things you may not have heard, so it may be new. Be involved. Do the exercises. Send your completed exercises to us so we can look at it and give you some guidance on it. Listen to the audio again and again. Repetition is the mother of retention. Show up, ready to go, and plan on going through the module with no interruption if at all possible. This gives you focus. And since we're talking about focus, focus is the key ingredient to accomplishing anything, especially in sales. So we use the acronym FOCUS throughout our book, It's Just a Conversation, What to Say and How to Say It in Sales. So I invite you always to focus when it comes to sales. And Trish, would you like to remind everybody about the acronym FOCUS?
Absolutely. FOCUS is, as Debbie said, an acronym that we use throughout It's Just a Conversation, because it is important to remember to focus. So in this case, we're talking about follow-up. So the first thing is always F stands for finish first. And what that means is consider the outcome that you want to achieve before you make that follow-up call. Think to yourself, what do I want here? Am I going to be making a sale on this call? I mean, am I at the point in the relationship where I'm making a sale? Or is it I just want to say hello, I want to get to know that person a little bit, or it may be I want to continue exploring whether or not I'm the right fit for them. So just know whatever that outcome is and be clear on it before you go into that follow-up call, whether it's in person or on the telephone. And notice I didn't say email. Phone calls is what I'm talking about, and face-to-face is what we're talking about here. Second thing is O, and O is observe. And what I mean by that is you're about to talk to someone that you've met or you've been referred to, and it would be really great if you knew a little bit about them before you picked up the phone or before you went to see them. You know how you feel when someone comes to you and they know a little bit about you. It kind of makes you feel good about them and good about yourself, so you'll want to do the same thing. So jot down at least two or three things about the person that you're creating a relationship with. And what I do, and you all know this, Google is my best friend. So I'll get on Google, I'll go on LinkedIn, I'll go on Facebook, and I'll see what's going on with that person. So that way when I make the phone call, I can say, oh, I see that you just got back from a vacation in Hawaii. How wonderful is that? And then we can have a conversation based on this mutual like that we have, because clearly I care about you if I'm looking what's happening in your life. The other thing is you can also, if you're dealing with business to business, you want to know some things about the person's company. This is really important. Make sure you know their mission statement, what their vision is, what their values are, who they are. A website will tell you very detailed information about the business person as well as the business. So take a look at that. And I know that sounds fundamental, but I can't tell you how many times I've gotten a follow-up call and people will say to me, tell me about what you do. You're a business coach, right? And I'm like, how could you not know? I just wrote a book, and I'm all over Facebook, and I'm in WPN. It's in my head. I'm saying this to myself. So the fact that you actually look and know a little bit about me raises you in someone I want to create a relationship with. So make sure you know something about them. The C in focus stands for clarify. And that means you're going to have some conversation where you'll probably be asking those questions that we talked about in Module 1, those questions that get to what are you feeling, what have you done before, how can I serve you, all of those questions. So write down a few questions that address their challenge points or what we say pain points when you schedule this meeting or when you pick up the phone. So have those questions ready. And then you, in focus, is use the information. Use what you got. When you are making the call and it's something that you're not really comfortable with, talk to yourself in the mirror first. That way you can clarify what it is you want to say, because as soon as you open your mouth and you talk to yourself, you go, oh, wait a minute, that didn't work. I should try it this way. So clarify by talking to yourself back, or you could even talk to an associate if you have people in your office that you can talk to. S is stay in the moment. Stay in the moment. And stay in the moment is always the S. And I have to tell you, I'm so happy that's in there because it's one that I really need. Stay in the moment. Be where you are. Don't let the phone giving you a text or someone knocking at your door bring you away from what it is you're doing when you're having that conversation with the person. So stay in the moment. Thank you, Deb.
That was awesome. And I have to agree with you, Trish. Staying in the moment is one of the most important parts of the focus as well. Because I know, too, when as soon as my mind starts to wander, I'm not listening to what the other person's telling me. I'm not observant. I'm not doing anything. I'm just thinking ahead in my own mind. And I miss the opportunity. So that was awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
So let's get started. I want you all to ask yourselves, does this sound familiar? You meet someone at a networking event or at an informal gathering, and you exchange business cards. Then what happens? Well, usually nothing, other than you have a beautiful collection of business cards sitting in a box. And do you know what is really sitting in that box? About 150 missed opportunities and thousands of dollars that are never realized. You can have 10 contacts or 500, and it won't make a difference to your bank account unless you take control of the follow-up process. Here's a tip I want to share with you that I learned when I was a president of a golf association board member. When you get a business card, get as much of their information as possible. Take control of the process. Even if they say they don't have a business card, take down their information anyway. Get their name, their contact information, their company, where you met them, and something you learned about them that you can use in your follow-up conversation. I even carry around what's called invitation cards. And when somebody doesn't have a business card, I just jot down my own thoughts about, you know, their name, where I met them, and what's important to them, if they mention to me a certain problem they're having, whatever it is. And it doesn't always have to be business related. It could be personal. And if you become a solution to even a personal situation, that creates the relationship. And that makes the follow-up conversation that much easier. Did you know that nearly half of all people that are selling something never follow up? That's right, 48% never follow up.
Wait. Say that again.
Never follow up. So are you in that 48%? Do you never follow up? Are you wasting those business cards in a box? Are they sitting there wasting money that you could have been doing so many wonderful things? And here's a sobering question to think about. Do you say to yourself, should I make the call or pave the way for my competition? Now, you may not think that, but that's what's happening. Pave the way for your competition? That's what you're doing. If you don't follow up, you've planted the seed, you've created some interest, and maybe at that moment they're not interested in your service or product. And maybe they'll get back to you, or, you know, hoping you'll get back to them. And life happens. So somebody else comes along, and they call that person, or they call that person and say, oh, I've got the same kind of product and service. Where are you interested? And you happen to be in the moment where you are interested. Well, look what's going to happen. They're going to get maybe your business or somebody. They're going to get the business, and you're not. So that's something, it's a real eye-opener, and that really got my attention when I started to think of it that way. I don't want to hand it to my competition. So what if you haven't heard from that person and somebody makes that phone call? As I just said, they get the business. Are you willing to give up all that? I know that it happened to me a couple of times, and I said to myself, what am I doing? I create a relationship initially, and then I walked away from it. How stupid is that? So I realized that the money is in the follow-up. So what stops you from following up? Is it fear of being told no? Or are you thinking, oh, I'll call tomorrow, which, by the way, is not the eighth day of the week, in case some of you are wondering. Or do you think that if someone really wanted what you're selling, that they'll call you? Well, guess again. Is there something in your mind that's holding you back? Is the voice in your head getting in your way of taking action? I want you all to think about that for a moment. We're going to open up the lines, and I'm going to ask for a volunteer, for somebody who feels that their mind is getting in their way and that you just cannot get through the follow-up process. And I'm going to take you through a technique that I promise you will work. And it'll work on other things too, other difficult situations you may be having in your life. This technique will help you get through anything.
And, you know, it's, you think about it, it's your mind that's in your way, but it's not. It's, you know, it's the I'm afraid to get a no. It's a, oh, it's so late in the day, they're not going to want to talk to me now, I'll call tomorrow, or maybe I should call after lunch, or it's Monday. I mean, there's lots of things that go through our head that, that sound like really good logical reasons. So if you have reasons that are holding you back from making those phone calls, or if truly, really you feel like, I get nervous, I don't want them to say no, then hit *6 on your phone and let Debbie work with you in this activity, and I know that you will really, really get something out of it. So who wants to do that? *6 on your phone. And we have a ringer, ding, 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 ding. Miss Linda Allred, I'm going to open it up for you.
Okay, Linda.
And Linda's almost a ringer. Linda's a ringer because she probably is familiar with the technique that we're going to go through because she, too, is so she's versed in a lot of these techniques, so it's perfect. I'm so glad that you were available.
Okay.
But
okay.
Knowing and doing are two different things.
That's true.
I keep saying follow-up, and I just – I'm trying to come up with a follow-up system right now. I got all these business cards, and I was so excited that y'all were going to talk about this today.
So is there one person, Linda, that you can think of that if you, after maybe tonight or maybe tomorrow morning, that if you made this phone call, it's an important follow-up phone call that you should be making? Who give me a name, just a first name.
What's her name? Susan.
Okay, so let's work with that. And everybody else who's listening, if you want to jot down the questions that I'm going to ask Linda, that'll help you because you can take yourself through this technique at any time and it'll help you get through anything that's a challenge to you or that's something that's stopping you. So first of all, Linda, I want you to take a deep breath if you would.
Okay.
Relax yourself a little bit. And I'm going to ask you, is it okay if I confuse you?
Oh, most definitely.
Okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read you some questions. I'm going to ask you some questions.
Okay.
And as I ask the questions, I want you to say the answer out loud as quickly as you can.
Okay?
And you're going to see that I'm going to move pretty quickly. All right? So I'm going to ask the questions. The first time I ask them, say it out loud.
Okay.
The second, third, fourth, or how many times I do this, just say it to yourself and then let me know, because I can't see you, so let me know when you're at the point of confusion.
Okay.
All right.
I think I am there now.
Good. Okay, we're getting there then.
All right.
So I'm going to do it as though you're asking yourself these questions, all right?
Okay.
So I'm going to word it that way. So what would happen if I call Susan? Answer quick.
She probably wouldn't be home.
What would happen if I didn't call Susan?
I'd probably lose a cell.
What wouldn't happen if I call Susan? Quick. What wouldn't happen if I didn't call Susan?
If I didn't call Susan, I probably wouldn't be mad at myself.
All right, let's do it again, okay? And this time I'm going to go a lot faster.
Okay.
And I don't want you to answer it out loud. Just think it to yourself because I'm going to go real fast, okay? What would happen if I call Susan? What would happen if I didn't call Susan? What wouldn't happen if I call Susan? What wouldn't happen if I didn't call Susan? Deep breath. Let it go.
Okay.
Let's do it again. What would happen if I call Susan? What would happen if I didn't call Susan? What wouldn't happen if I call Susan? What wouldn't happen if I didn't call Susan? Deep breath. Let it out. Let's do it again. What would happen if I call Susan? What would happen if I didn't call Susan? What wouldn't happen if I call Susan? What wouldn't happen if I didn't call Susan? Deep breath. How are you feeling? Are you confused?
The second, third, and fourth questions confuse me.
Good. I don't expect you to answer it, and you can't. You can't. Your mind can't possibly answer these questions. So
okay.
It's okay. That's good that you're confused.
but I'm already
and
having positive results.
What's that?
I'm already having positive results.
Well, tell me, express that. What do you mean? What's happening?
Well, the first time I said she probably wouldn't be home, and about the third time you did it, I said she'd be home and she'd be excited to sign up for the program. So, see, I'm already changing my mind.
Okay, and then when you couldn't answer the other questions, what was going on?
I just didn't understand the questions fast enough to think about what I was supposed to be thinking about.
And did you have a feeling that whatever anxiety or nervousness you had about making the follow-up phone call seemed to dissipate?
Yeah, I did.
Can you explain that a little bit?
Well, I just realized it's not a big deal. If she's home, I can leave a I'll talk to her, and if she's not home, I'll leave a message, and, you know, it's all okay.
It's all okay. Perfect. Yeah. Oh, you're wonderful. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank
awesome.
You.
Let's hear it for Linda Allred. Yay.
Debbie, I'll tell you all a funny story. One of my coaches insisted that I do follow-up, and she knows she drugged me by the feet. And do you know that the people that I did talk to actually were so excited to hear from me, and I actually made sales on the phone, and it was like, duh,
uh-huh.
Why don't I do this every week? Just pick up the phone and call people.
That's exactly, and you know what, thank you for that, saying that, because you're leading us into the next part, which is absolutely perfect. So,
but then
you
I quit
wonderful.
Doing it again.
getting back to no, because that's an issue that we all have. We don't like rejection. We're afraid of rejection. And we get it. It's not fun to hear no. And you have to be clear in your mind on whether you're hearing no, not now, or no, not ever. Okay, so that you have to think about that as you're going through these phone calls. Did you know that most people stop after getting one no? Isn't that amazing? And what Linda just shared with us, when she picked up the phone, even though maybe she was nervous about it, she actually was able to get through when she made some sales. So don't stop at no, because you're only stopping yourself and you're limiting yourself, and you're not giving the other people a chance to get your brilliance and to get what you have to offer to this world.
And Deb, if I can interject, that exercise is so powerful, and it only takes a minute, and you can do it with yourself.
Yes.
So I have one other person in queue. I'd love to do it one more time. Would you be okay with that?
Oh, sure, absolutely.
Yeah, let's do it one more time. And I'm going to open the line now. You'll hear it say unmuted. And someone in the 954 area?
Oh, hi, it's Dr. Teresa.
Hey, Dr. Teresa.
Hi.
So let's talk. Let's Debbie run you through it now as well, and give us your thoughts on how did it work. So Deb, take it away.
Okay. So Dr. Teresa, give me a person who you know you should be following up with, and you just haven't.
Leisha.
Who?
Leisha.
Leisha.
Yes.
Okay. Leisha. All right. So I'm gonna. First of all, I want you to take a deep breath. Okay.
Okay.
And I'm going to ask you some questions, and I want you to give me the answers very, very quickly. Don't think too much about it, okay?
Okay.
And as we go through this, the first time I ask you these questions, say it out loud, and then the second and third or fourth time, say it to yourself. And let me
okay.
know when you get to the point of confusion, all right?
Okay.
And let me understand that Leisha is somebody, like, you know you should call, and you're feeling what, very nervous about it?
I just don't feel like I have what she needs.
Okay, so you feel that you can't address her concerns. Okay, that's good. So let's start with that in mind, because I want you to keep that in mind after the end of this exercise, all right?
Okay.
So I'm going to ask you the questions, and you say them out loud you say the answers the first time, and then after that, say it to yourself, and let me know when I've confused you. Okay?
Okay.
What would happen if I call Leisha? Quickly. Quickly. Okay, what would happen if I didn't call Leisha?
Well, that would be bad.
What wouldn't happen if I call Leisha?
Nothing.
What wouldn't happen if I didn't call Leisha? Quickly.
Ew.
Okay,
confusion.
Deep breath. Okay, I'm going to go a lot faster now, and you're going to say the answers to yourself, okay?
Okay.
What would happen if I call Leisha? What would happen if I didn't call Alicia? What wouldn't happen if I call Alicia? What wouldn't happen if I didn't call Alicia? Deep breath. Let's do it again. What would happen if I call Alicia? What would happen if I didn't call Alicia? What wouldn't happen if I call Alicia? What wouldn't happen if I didn't call Alicia? Deep breath.
You got me on confusion.
Okay. You're laughing. And
I'm thinking,
really
who's on first?
What's that?
I'm thinking, who's on first?
Who's on first? Okay, now you're laughing. Tell me how you feel now about calling Alicia.
I might as well just pick up the phone and call her.
Oh, wow, that's awesome. Why do you feel that way now?
I'm not able to identify why I wouldn't call her.
Okay, so it's not an issue anymore, right?
Correct.
Isn't that amazing?
Truly. Truly.
What, maybe 30 seconds to do that?
Yeah.
Right. And I'm like ready to pick up the phone caller.
Yay!
Wow.
Awesome.
Congratulations. That was awesome.
Thank you. I agree. That was amazing.
Thank you. Awesome.
You're a miracle worker.
Thank you, Dr. Teresa.
My pleasure. Thanks for letting me play.
You're welcome. And, you know, for all of you, this exercise can be found in your book, It's Just a Conversation, on page 49. So make a note of that. Page 49, those four questions are listed right there. And anytime you have any kind of apprehension about making a follow-up call, do those four questions with yourself.
Okay. So let's get back to it. So we talked about the no, and really that's what's behind, you know, a lot of us, we don't think we have the right skill set or the right product for our clients, or we're just afraid we're going to hear no. And as I was saying, that a lot of people stop after the first no. And consider this. Only 2% of sales are made on the first contact. 3% are made on the second contact. 5% are made on the third contact. 10% are made on the fourth contact. And 80% are made on the fifth to 12th contact. So that says if you want to be successful, if you want to make your sales and make your bank account grow, and most importantly, you want to serve others, you have to make that follow-up phone call, and you have to do it probably 8 to 12 times before you even make the sale. So those numbers are just mind-boggling. And they're very important to remember that it's not going to always happen on the first call. It may not happen on the fifth call or the third contact or the fourth. Fifth to 12th, the odds are better in your favor. These numbers tell us the sale goes to the few that follow up, who are patient and pleasantly persistent. Imagine what your business would be like if you made one more follow-up phone call. Just one more follow-up phone call. I used to put off follow-up sales conversations because I came from a corporate background working with advertising agencies where the agency would follow up for me. I didn't have to reach out to my clients. When I created my company, Consumer Perspective, I realized that for my own business to survive, I had to take the initiative and make the call. And I had an aha moment. And that came to me when I was asked to participate in a fun exercise. During an event, we were asked to bring $31, a $20 bill, a $10 bill, and a $1 bill. We were given three sticky notes and asked to give the $20 bill and a brief note on the sticky note to the number one person that made a difference in my business or my life. Then I was asked to give the $10 bill with a sticky note and some words, you know, some reason why she also made a difference in my life, or he or she made a difference in my life. And then the dollar went to the third person who had that kind of influence in my life. And at the end of the exercise, we all had to count up our dollars and read our sticky notes. It wasn't about the money. It was about what each of us were doing to make a difference in someone's life. The people that made the most money and got the most sticky notes were the ones that truly extended themselves and made a difference and had an impact on someone's business or personal life. They followed up with a conversation. They followed up with a note. Whatever it was, they followed up and they were having that conversation. The truly successful people were not pushing. They weren't selling. They weren't being like obnoxious about it. They were being interested in the other person. What they were doing was opening the conversation to create relationships, gain trust, and importantly, make a difference in someone's world. This exercise made me realize that when I extend myself to just one more person a day by making that follow-up call, I can share my expertise and make a difference in their life. And by the way, I use all those sticky notes that I collected as reminders as to how I make a difference. And those are very important. They're like little testimonials. So if you have testimonials, if you have people that have given you compliments, and maybe they're not written down, write them down. Keep a journal of compliments. And take a look at it. And whenever you're feeling a little unsure, you can either take yourself through the exercise we just did, and not either or, it's really, you can do both. And take a look at your testimonials. Take a look at what people say about you, because that's so important. And that's what people need you. They want you. They want your services and products. And when we don't call them or we don't reach out to them, we don't contact them, we're not giving them an opportunity for us to help them, for us to do anything for them. We learned from the $31 exercise that follow-up conversation is essential in creating relationships, trust, and shows that you care about your client, which often leads to lots of sales. You make a difference too. What is it about your business that is your why? It's your obligation to make the call and get your passion out there. And we're going to open up the lines again, and I would like for some of you to share your why with us and your why about your business. Why did you choose this business? And what difference do you make with your business? So I'd love to hear how your why can help, can really make somebody's day, make somebody's world different.
Awesome.
Trish, would you open the line, please?
Yeah, hit star 6 on your phone, and I'm going to open it up now for a 305 number. And your line is open.
Hi, this is Lisa.
Hi, Lisa.
One of my big whys is supporting business owners to succeed. Many of us, we start a business because we have a passion or a gift to share, but we don't have the know-how in marketing, and we may have the best, but we are the best kept secret. So I don't want business owners to be a best kept secret. I want them to be found, to be known, and to make money and share their gift with the world.
So let me ask you, Lisa, if somebody was about to write a letter to you to thank you for your service, to thank you for something that you really did for them or you touched them in a certain way, what would be maybe the first two things you think that they would say?
Thank you. You made a difference. My business is on fire.
My business is on fire. Okay, so what did you do specifically that their business is on fire?
I help them drive sales, acquire new customers.
Okay, were you there? Like, did you lend an ear? Did you offer a suggestion? Were you a calming influence? Were you a solution for something? Do you see where I'm going with that?
Yes, I was a solution, and I offer them a tool to acquire new consumers, and a tool and a complete program to acquire new consumers and retain customers. And as a result, their sales are through the roof.
Okay, now that tool, I'm going to get a little, please forgive me if you think I'm stepping on you too hard. And I want you to understand something. A tool or any other physical thing, okay, somebody else may provide that. So my question to you is, what about you? What about Lisa that they say, oh, wow, she's amazing. I want to buy from her again.
Okay. Well, for me, I really heard them and delivered what they were asking for. And I provided them with suggestions and expertise.
Would you say you over-deliver?
Yes.
Okay, so see, that could be the why they're coming to you. Do you see where we went with that? You went much deeper than just the tool that you provide.
Got it.
Okay, so and I want everybody to think of this too. It goes way beyond your product or service that you provide. It's sometimes the little things that maybe we think, oh, that doesn't really matter, that are the huge things in your clients' minds.
And if I can interject, knowing you, Lisa, one of the reasons I like to be around you, which is going to be one of the reasons people buy from you, is you're enthusiastic, you're always in a good mood, you smile, you're an amazing listener. All of those reasons are reasons why people buy from you as well. So that's really what we're getting at here, is your passion for your business combined with your enthusiasm, your ability to listen and to be able to respond and to be somebody who's always in a good mood, those are the reasons why people love you and want to do business with you. So you're awesome.
Thank you.
Great. All right, awesome. Thanks, Lisa. How about I'm going to go to 914 area code, and let's hear about your passion and your why in terms of your business. Your line is open.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can. Who is it?
Oh, it's Allison.
Hey, okay. Allison. So tell us your passion. Why did you pick this business?
You know, my why is simply that I want to reduce pain and suffering in the world. I want to, my why is that I want women to have the energy and the health and the mental well-being and emotional well-being to be able to live their best life, to live the life, whatever business they do, whatever life they live. It's really my passion that to teach women how to live illness-free, disease-free, and just have enough energy and so they can stay passionate in their life and play with their grandchildren and run around the block and feel as well as they can feel as they move into their older years. And that's my big why.
Okay, Allison, I would ask you at this point, that was great. That was great. Thank you for sharing that. Now, my next question to you would be, if somebody wrote you a thank you card, what would they be thanking you for specifically? What did you do? How did you act with them? How did you appear to them that they're going to like, wow, she was amazing?
I think that they would thank me for validating and understanding exactly where they were and compassionately taking their hands and showing them how they could cross the bridge to better health. I think that they would thank me for giving them hope and possibility that things could turn around and be different physically, okay, mentally, and emotionally. Yeah.
And for example, on the how would you give them hope? What did you do? How did you sound that they felt that you were giving them hope?
Because I conveyed to them that I would take them through step-by-step processes and implement and create some new behaviors that were easy for them to implement in their life that would make them, they would feel better. They would feel better physically, mentally, emotionally.
Okay, and what about your own personality? What about your own, maybe if you're in person, your appearance or your personality that would suggest the trust and the hope that they could trust that hope coming from you and they could trust the compassion coming from you?
Well, I think that it's because I'm very transparent. I share my vulnerability, and so I guess the trust factor, honest factor.
That is awesome. You just got to it. Okay, so basically what we're looking at is you got from all this stuff that you do, you reduce pain and suffering and so on. Meanwhile, what they're going to be writing you that thank you note for is your transparency, the fact you understand them, the fact that you're vulnerable yourself and that they can relate to that. And that is so huge because that's how you open up the conversation. That's how you create the relationship. So if I may use yours as an example, what happens with us very often is we get so caught up in the business ease, if you will, the business copy, the business words, that we lose sight of what we're really all about. And don't lose sight of that because you're doing a fabulous job, Allison. You're, you know, transparent. There are other ways of looking at that too, and that's a fine word. Transparent is good because it says that you are who you are. You're not a phony, and that's
right.
Great. And that's what people would want more of. So I applaud you. That was wonderful.
Gotcha. Thank you so much.
Does that make sense? What we just did?
Yeah. No. It did because it confirmed to me. When I do come back to that from time to time when I start going out on a limb and it just it feels like I'm losing myself somewhere trying to do it differently or be different, I do come back to saying, you know what, it's like Popeye, I am who I am, and I do have to come back to being that way. I don't often know if that is the correct way in a more business-type environment. So I have been unsure if I should play my card that way, which is who I am. But so it was really helpful for you to say, yeah, you know, be that open person. You know, let them know that you have been down that road and that you still continue maybe even to apply these things to your own life. So that's why I use transparency. I always want people to know that I'm right there in the trenches with them. So thanks for bringing
it. It goes a long way.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That was good.
Do we have any others, Trish? Or are we going to continue?
Yeah, we can take one more. Linda.
Okay.
Your line's open, Linda.
Hi there.
Hi, Linda.
You know, I've been at this for 21 years, and I finally figured out that my ideal client is an entrepreneur that wants to make more money and wants to speak but not necessarily as healthy as she should and maybe a little overweight and wants to lose weight too. And so combining my hypnosis skills and the energy work of kinesiology, I've started a hottest ticket in town program, and I had a reception here on the 3rd of all the charter members, and it was just a magical evening to be able to change people's beliefs from they feel like they're not good enough until they believe they are, and their energy's different. They stand in their power and their brilliance and their self-confidence, and people are attracted to them and want to work with them, you know, and it's just a beautiful place to be in my life right now.
Linda, let me ask you, if somebody's writing you a thank you note for everything you did for them, what are the first two things they're going to thank you for?
For really caring and believing in them and helping them transform their life and reach their dreams.
Okay, so tell me or express to me how you show that you believe in them.
Just by listening and really caring and knowing the pain that they felt because I used to be there, and knowing that the transformation is possible. All they have to be is just open to it. And,
So what I would suggest then is if you don't already have these testimonials, write down a testimonial. I think this idea came from even Nancy, from Trish, your sister Nancy, when she used to say, you know, write a letter as though it was coming from your client, and to say thank you. Thank you for whatever it is that you think they're thanking you for, whatever you believe that you stand for, that you make a difference in the world.
Mm-hmm.
How would you touch somebody? How would they feel that you're touching them? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Write those words down, and those are the words that go, keep going back to them. Look
yeah.
at them like on your computer before you even open up your computer. Look at those words. Look at what you're saying, and,
mm-hmm.
and realize that you are an amazing, amazing person. And I'm talking to
and
everybody
we have
else.
To believe it, because we, you know, we just think we're ordinary and anybody would be like this. I actually had the testimonies videoed, and I just got to see them yesterday, and I just sat there with tears and have happiness and joy that I am making a difference. And
that's
it,
awesome.
It's just beautiful.
That's terrific.
You know,
yes, and we have to
beautiful.
Be reminded, because we get lost in our businesses. We get lost in life.
Mm-hmm.
And every now and then, it's more than every now and then, like every day, want to look at those testimonials. You want to look. You want to see what those words are. Remind yourself how awesome you are.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you touch somebody by caring, or whether you touch somebody by being transparent, or whatever, by listening to somebody. I mean, sometimes there are little things like, oh, I listen, everybody listens, big deal. No, that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
They see a special quality in you, and that's what you need to recognize about yourself every day.
Right.
So thank you for playing. That was wonderful.
Thank you.
So as an exercise, what I would like to ask everybody to do, and I think this is something you're going to want to do after hearing this, is to write a letter to yourself as though it's coming from your client or your customer, thanking you, not specifically for your product or service, but some way that you specifically touched their heart, some way that you made their life a lot better, or you made their world a very better place. Something that you did that really moved them, and use those words and write them down and look at those words every day. And that'll be a very strong reminder how super you are, and that making any phone call, including the follow-up phone call, would be like breathing. It's second nature. You don't even think about it.
Mm-hmm. And that's the key. That's the key, because it's not that you're afraid of follow-up, really. I mean, you know, we procrastinate. We don't ever admit that we're afraid of it. But in reality, we procrastinate, we do other things, we find other reasons not to pick up the phone. When in reality, if you can connect to your passion, your why you've chosen this profession and the difference you make with people, you would never hesitate to follow up, because you have a moral obligation to share what it is you know. And if you can connect to that, follow-up is never an issue. So thanks for that exercise, Deb. It was great.
So let's move on to how to follow up. The first follow-up conversation is used usually to get an appointment. Next, you want to uncover their needs or pain points. And then again, you have to assess the situation depending on when you first met the person or first spoke to the person. What did you uncover at that point? So you have to judge it, you know, accordingly. So these aren't set rules. These are just guidelines. And after you have uncovered their needs or pain points, what you want to do is make a recommendation, create a relationship, perhaps make the sale or have more conversations, strengthen the relationship, sell more if you didn't make the sale yet or sell for the first time, and maintain the relationship. And the relationship is really key, because the business will come once you've created that relationship. And once you've put in your customer's mind that you are the resource for them, and not just because of the product or service that you sell, because you offer those amazing qualities that they're looking for, because you're transparent, because you're caring and believing, because you're a good listener, whatever those are. Okay, so that's what has to come through as you build that relationship. And then the next part of that is, when should you follow up? Well, the best follow-up is usually within 24 hours, if that's possible. The sooner you connect, the sooner you'll be able to serve their needs. And that's really your purpose of your business. That's why you're in business, is to serve your customers' needs. If you attend an event and meet someone, contact them within a day or two of the event. If that doesn't work, schedule a specific day of the week and stick to it. For example, I like to follow up on Fridays. I call it Follow Up Fridays. And Trish and I were talking about having a fun way of looking at this, and maybe on Fridays, if you decide you want to do it on Fridays or whenever, you can text us, one of us or both of us, and write F U, which is follow up, and that you followed up, and we'll know that. Okay, so we'll allow you to say F U to us, and that's okay. So how do you follow up? How do you stay connected to your prospects? Trish, do you want to open lines and maybe find out how people follow up?
I do. I have, you know, I'm going to go ahead and first clear the queue, and then we'll start again. So I have tons of ideas on how to follow up, and I'd love to hear yours before I get into mine. So if you have an idea on how you follow up, give me a *6 and let me hear it. So hit *6 on your phone and tell me the ways that you follow up. And the first one is Eileen, and your line is open. If it is Eileen, the phone is open.
Yes, it's me. Hi, how are you?
Great. How are you doing? It is Eileen. Okay. I didn't recognize the last name. It's different.
Oh, it's because my phone, I didn't change it over to my the Rogers after the divorce. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. No. Tell me about what are some of the ways you follow up?
What I do is I do try to stick to that 24-hour thing after I network. But on my I have an Apple computer, and on the computer, when I go into my emails through the Apple part of the computer, for some reason I get these stationary choices that I have. So I have one that has sticky notes, or if it's a luncheon thing, one that's like a plate with a fork and a knife on it, that I just shoot them a note, something about what they told me during the networking event that we had.
Great.
And I send that out for the first one. But what I'm trying to figure out is how to create a different type of stationery so that it just stands out more than just a regular email that would make people take pause. Because I don't really like just shooting a letter in the email. I don't think it has enough statement on it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of thrown after I do that initial one if they're at a lot of different networking groups, but you still don't have a relationship where you would make a phone call.
Why couldn't you make the phone call?
Don't really have an answer for that. Because
what's your limiting belief about the phone call?
Well, because sometimes when in certain situations they'll have said something that at a networking thing that you're like, okay, I can connect to that, and you're waiting to see them again for another one to have a little further conversation so they know you a little better, but you earmark it. And so sometimes for me, it's kind of like I like to sit back and listen and, you know, say it was great meeting you. And it's not always the second time that I make the call. It's not that it's limiting, because I do make the phone calls, and I'm pretty good at follow-up. It's just that there's sometimes I'm just waiting to say hi, make that other connection so that they know you a little bit better face-to-face beforehand. Unless that's the wrong approach, I don't really know, to be honest with you.
Well, it's not that it's right or wrong, and then Trish, I'm sure, you know, you please add to this. It's not that it's right or wrong. It's what, remember that people, first of all, emails are dime a dozen. Everybody's getting emails. They're just overwhelmed with emails. So very often, even though your intention is terrific, you want to send them a thank you, you want to talk to them a little bit more about the event you were at or whatever it was, make it lost. It gets lost in spam. They look at it and they go, okay, I'll get back to it later, and later becomes later and later, and like the eighth day of the week, which never happens. So,
okay.
So my suggestion on that is maybe in addition to the email, follow up with a phone call. Phone calls are so rare that people take notice to that, even if you leave a voice message.
I had a client just a week ago told me that the reason she chose me to be her business coach was because I called her after I met her. And simply by picking up the phone, exactly what Debbie's saying, she knew something about me that made me stand out from other people.
Okay.
So, Eileen, to answer the...
Yeah.
I get that you want them to feel you a little bit more. I feel that's what you're probably doing, right? Let them get to know me a little bit by sending an email, and that's great. So just make sure your follow-up, you make a phone call within a reasonable period of time, because Debbie's right. and especially you're talking about using that templated stationery, I'm concerned, do you end up in spam because you use it?
Okay, and you want to know something? I'm going to have to test that out with somebody that I know.
Yeah.
To see if that's the truth, because sometimes I find that being that I'm with Melaleuca and I'm going into some of the traditional business networking things, I'm coming from a different angle,
uh-huh.
that I need a little bit more person-to-person rapport with people, you know, just because I can feel that resistance because they automatically think multi-level and they
right.
have their own experiences. So that was the background noise in my head is, you know, okay, let them know you. And but each time I send something, it's something personal about what we spoke about.
Right.
But I'll have to check the spam thing. Yeah, because I didn't even think of that, the spam thing, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's the biggest concern for me. And I get that you can't always, every day, you may not have a chunk of time to do follow-ups from the networking you did yesterday. If you have 5 or 6 people you want to call, I get that, you know, we're talking about follow-up Fridays, so it all makes sense that you may want to just shoot a quick email. I hear that. Just the thing about making the phone call is it really helps you to stand out. And for me, I call just to say hello, really and truly. And I probably talked about this in Module 1 because this really works for me. I let go of my agenda, and I literally treat people as if they are the one and if I am the one for them as well. So I just
okay.
call and I'll say, hey, I met you yesterday, and you are one of those people I wanted to connect with. Do you have just a minute to chat? And they'll say yes or no. And if they say yes, I'm going to ask them questions. Great. Tell me a little bit about yourself. Tell me a little bit more about your business. I know that you do such and such and thus and so. Tell me a little bit more. And I just get
okay,
them
so talking. You're keeping it all about them.
Absolutely. It's always
okay.
all about them. It's always about them, always. Every single thing you do is about them. Because when it becomes about you, your chances of selling go down the tubes. It's got to be about them.
Okay,
and
yeah, because that's what I thought the emails were. So I'll just switch it over to a conversation. I'll try it on Friday.
Right, and remember, I want you to remember, it's just a conversation.
Right.
It really is. And that telephone can be so heavy, you know, the 1,000-pound gorilla. But when you're just calling to say hi, there's no 1,000-pound gorilla because you're just talking to another person that you met that you probably genuinely did like.
Right. Okay. I'll try it this Friday.
One
yeah.
other point to that I would add. Remember that if you met them in person and you had a chance to talk to them, you had a chance to see them, you observed them, okay? Perhaps they were wearing, I don't know if you go to an event where somebody's wearing maybe a team shirt or something or a logo or whatever it might be. Those are all clues. Those are all things that you should be observant about. Remember we said focus and the O is be observant. And so take that information and write it down after you meet the person. And then when you make that follow-up phone call, you can say, oh, I noticed you were wearing, you know, a really pretty scarf, for example. Did you get that on a trip somewhere? I mean, that's always a way of opening the conversation, too. So it doesn't just have to be, okay, what do you do for your, what can I do for your business? What can I help you with
right.
you in your
Well, so, and let me take it to the next level, because after they tell me all about the things I've asked them about, tell me about your life, tell me about your kids, oh, how interesting, oh, you went to Tahiti, tell me more, then they're going to say, tell me what's going on with you, Trish, tell me about your business. And then I'm going to be able to say something like, I am so excited because I just created a new program around my book, and it's been a 4-week teleclass, and it's awesome. And they'll go, oh, tell me more. And the next thing you know, we're talking about my area of business, and then I can start to talk with them about my business and feel them out and ask questions to see if my business matches with their needs. So that's the whole thing. But I don't
okay.
go down there going, I'm going to ask this, this, and this. I just have a conversation, and I let it take me, and I trust that divine guidance will give me what I need in that moment. And the more I trust it, the more it happens.
I'm going to try it tomorrow because I went network today, so I'll let you know how I did.
Awesome. Awesome.
Thank
All
you.
Right, great. Thank you. Thanks so much. You know, we're at the top of the hour, Debbie. Can you believe it? It's already been an
hour. I know.
We
have so much information. It's wonderful. It's amazing how that happened.
We do. And I thank you. I have a couple more people in queue. What I'm going to do, though, for the essence of time is go ahead and move on and just give you a couple of things, and then we'll be closing out the evening. So a couple things I wanted to mention. The phone call is my favorite. Just call to say hello and connect. The other thing is that I love what Eileen's doing to differentiate her email. So sending a nice to meet you note, an email is okay. A handwritten note is even better because only 7% of the mail you get in your mailbox is personal mail. The other 93% is bills and flyers and garbage that you throw away. So if you can differentiate yourself by really taking the time. Now, I don't write notes. I actually use send out cards. So I'm still in their mail. I do it in my own handwriting. For those of you not familiar with send out cards, it's an online program where you can choose from thousands of greeting cards and you write inside of it, only you're doing it with your computer. And it's very easy because I can send you a card at midnight and I don't have to go to the store to get it. So it really works really well. The other thing is take advantage of social media. It is there. So when you come home from meeting someone, the first thing you want to do is look for them on the social media that platforms that you're on, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, all those places. The other thing is look for ways that you can invite them to connect with you physically again. So, for example, I'm going to a networking meeting next week. I would love for you to join me. Come with me. And I'm not even saying you have to pay for their lunch. I'm just saying I'd love to see you again, and I know you network and I network. Let's do it. So that's another nice thing to do. Pay attention to their likes and dislikes. Like Debbie said, if you notice there was a scarf around their neck that's great, then perhaps you might want to send them an article on 16 different ways to wear your scarf. I cannot tell you how many people notice that I love Bruce Springsteen. And people who are paying attention and are good at follow-up, they send me stuff about Bruce Springsteen, which makes it more likely that I'm going to be wanting to speak to them. And then the other thing is you can ask them their opinion or input on something. We love giving our opinion. So find a reason to pick up the phone and call and say, you know, I'm working on a teleclass, or I'm working on a new project, and I'm trying to get as many opinions on this as possible, and I know I can trust your opinion. Can you give me your thoughts on this? People will love you for that. So those are just some ideas. So, Deb, I'll let you take it away.
Well, I was just going to offer one example. When we were writing the book, I reached out to a couple of my clients that are in the advertising world and clients of the advertising agencies. And I said, I'm writing a book about business conversations. Would you like to contribute any conversations? And even if they didn't contribute, they were wowed by it. They were like, oh, wow, that's such an interesting project you're working on. Tell me more. So it got them engaged with me, and I got to have that conversation with them without feeling awkward about, oh, I'm just calling you out of the blue kind of thing. And that's okay. Whatever you use, whether it's I'm calling to say hello, or you're calling to ask for their opinion, or you're calling because you need their assistance in something, that's all good. It's all good reasons to pick up the phone or to reach out to them.
Yeah, the telephone. For some reason, the telephone is very scary.
It is.
Yeah. And then what's going to happen is you will make some kind of an appointment. At some point, they're going to say, you know what, I'd love to know more about that Malaleuca that you sell. Tell me a little bit more about that. Would it work in my washing machine when I do my laundry? And can I have soap that's natural and holistic? And the next thing you know, you're having a great conversation and you're selling your services. For
right.
Some of you, it might be they'll say, you know, I'd love to know more about that, but I don't have time right now. And that's where you go and you make an appointment. So it's really important that you make the appointment right then and there. And don't fall for that give me a call next week thing. Instead, say, great, I'd love to talk with you more about it. I have some time on Monday at 1 or Friday at 3. Which would be a better time for us to connect? make sure you make an appointment, a real appointment, not I'll call you next week or you call me next Monday. Just let's get real and put it on the calendar.
And
then the next thing, Deb, I know you wanted to mention was you want to make sure you get that follow-up conversation, because something like 35% of people cancel appointments. So you'll want to do some follow-up work to make sure you keep the appointment. And, Deb, I know you were going to talk about that.
Well, actually, Trish, go ahead, because you're on a roll, and I think we're running out. We're starting to run
out of it. Yeah, we're done. We're about done. I don't want to keep you 5 more minutes. So the key is that you can call them the day or two before and remind them that we're going to be talking on Monday. I'm really looking forward to talking with you. Or you can send an email. But when you do that, remind them why it is we're having this appointment. So you might say something like, this is Trish, and when we talked last week, you told me you had 2 immediate concerns. One was you're concerned that you're spending too much money on your whatever your product is you're selling. So let's say you work for Lisa, does merchant services, meaning when you use credit cards. So she might say something like, when we talked last week, you told me about 2 immediate concerns you had. One was your concern that your merchant services are too high, and 2, your concern that you're losing customers because the customer service isn't really good and it's taking you a long time to resolve issues. So you were worried about losing business over it. So I'm looking forward to talking with you tomorrow, or I'm looking forward to talking with you next week, whatever the date is, and I have several ideas so that you can nip this in the bud. So put the problem back on the table when you're confirming the appointment, and chances are they will want to continue to have that appointment.
Right.
Okay? All right. So, for Deb, anything else you want to add before we go into the exercises this week?
No, I think we're good. A lot of content.
Yeah, great. And again, you know what? You think to yourself, follow up, follow up, follow up. It's about creating consistency. And I'm going to suggest that if you do not consistently follow up now, all you have to do in the next week is pick one day that you will make one phone call. That's it. One day, you will make one phone call. Now, if you are good at follow-up, let's get better. And add one more phone call, or if you're willing, make it 10 more phone calls. But I'll let you decide that. So next week, one more phone call, or add to what you're already doing. The second exercise is write that testimonial letter to yourself. What is it that someone would say, thank you so much, and write it out and really get to it? And send us that, if you're so inclined, to team@itsjustaconversationbook.com. team@itsjustaconversationbook.com. So those two things for next week, and just share them with us, and I cannot wait to get your email that says, I made 10 follow-up calls this week, and I didn't make any last week, or I made 10 this week, and that's one more than I did last week. Whatever it is, all I'm asking you to do is step forward.
Or we might get that text that says FU-5.
We might.
Follow it up 5 times.
That could happen. You can even put FU in the email if you like. So testimonial, and then move forward in your follow-ups. Because the bottom line is they want what you have, and you want them to have it. So know that what you offer people in who you are, in the authentic you, is unique, important, and terribly needed. So don't be stingy. Share yourself, be yourself, and watch what happens to your business. So, having said all that, I would love to open the lines and offer you the opportunity to ask any questions. If you have any questions you've jotted down that you'd like to ask, now's the chance, star six. And we were either fabulous or... Let's open it up for Miss Linda. Miss Linda, your line is open.
I have a question about when you make a follow-up call and you have to leave a message. You have any tips on that?
Yes. Same idea as when you're doing the follow-up. If you're leaving a message on a hello, how you doing phone call, then I would say just that. Hi, it's Trish. I met you yesterday. I felt you, whatever it is you're going to say about how great they are. And I really wanted to connect with you again. So when you have a moment, no rush, and when you have a moment, I would love to chat. Can you give me a call at and give your phone number?
Okay.
In fact, I'm going to, and I'll follow up with an email, as a matter of fact, just so you have my info in front of you. So that's
right.
What I would do. If it's a follow-up about that you've already, I'm sorry, Linda, go ahead.
I just wanted to commend both of you. You made me, and I know you made everybody else. I mean, we really do have a gift that we want to share with the world, and we should not be afraid to pick up the phone and let them feel excited that we're calling. I mean, you know, you just made me feel like I can get over myself.
Awesome.
And I'm going to put some follow-ups on my calendar.
Awesome.
I'm going to block out an hour and just pick up the phone and just call.
And that's great. That's a great way to do it. Pick an hour, and however many calls you get in, you get in. Sometimes you're going to reach voicemail. Sometimes you will reach the person. And all the voicemails, I always follow up with an email. Because not everybody's a phone person, and some people don't even listen to their voicemails.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. You have inspired me, both of you. Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Awesome. All right. Well, we will be meeting here next week, same time, 7 p.m. Eastern. And next week, Ruby Slipper Strategies to Get Past the Gatekeeper. So be on that call. I look forward to receiving your emails with your follow-ups and your testimonial letters at team@itsjustaconversationbook.com. I am honored, we are honored, to be here with you, and I trust that you picked up at least one good thing on tonight's call. So thanks
so
much.
And should we give the number to text us with the FU?
Sure.
Okay, I'll give you mine, 954-610-1403. So I look forward to seeing everybody's FUs to me, and I won't take it personally.
No. So it's
954-610-1403.
Awesome. All right, everyone, make it a great conversation. Every conversation counts. Have a wonderful evening, everybody.